today on the Scott Thompson Show on 900 CHML.
As we've discussed before, the World Health Organization has a crew in Wuhan, China, which is the origins of the COVID-19 coronavirus, and doing an investigation, trying to find out how it all started so we can make sure this doesn't happen again. Of course, there was all of the chatter of the of this coming out of a wet market, very similar to what the SARS coronavirus was, but also some rumors floating around about how it's come into the country various ways, including in frozen seafood, which, you know, we'll see where that goes, and also within a lab from Wuhan that somehow escaped from this lab. I think that has been discredited. Let's bring in Charles Burton, Senior Fellow, Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the McDonald Laurier Institute, and with us now. Charles, thank you for the time. I hope you're doing well.
Good to hear from you, Scott. Nice afternoon here in St. Catharines.
Yeah, lots of sunshine, that's for sure. So in regard to, you know, there's lots of finger pointing way back at the beginning of all of this and where it started and how it happened. And there was some suspicion that it escaped from a lab. What do we know from this World Health Organization investigation so far in regard to this lab?
Well, they're saying that, you know, they have concluded it couldn't have come from the lab and won't be looking at it any further. I frankly am having a lot of trouble with this, as they have no alternative explanation. It appears to most experts that the origins of this thing are in bats, a kind of bat which doesn't fly around Wuhan, but a kind of bat which was sent up from Southwest China, Yunnan, to the lab for investigation. And the Americans have said that, you know, that there was illness in the lab prior to the spread to the market, which is near the lab. In other words, where the people went from the lab after work to pick up their, you know, their vegetables for supper. I just think that the Chinese denial that it's coming from the lab is just a bit too much of complaining too much about this. And the lack of any alternative explanation is disturbing. And now the Chinese say, well, nothing to see here in Wuhan. Time for the international investigation team to go to foreign countries to see if it came from there. And that, you know, their official propaganda is that it came from China's main geostrategic rival, the United States, via military who came to Wuhan to attend the World Military Games in November of last year. I'm just very, very suspicious about all of this. The relationship between the WHO and the government of China, and in general, the spin that's been put on this looks to me like a cover-up and a smear. And the fact that they couldn't get, you know, to do the investigation until a year after the virus was first discovered in Wuhan is suspicious in and of itself.
Here's what a member of the WHO had team in Wuhan had to say.
Our initial findings suggest that the introduction through an intermediary host species is the most likely pathways, and one that will require more studies and more specific targeted research.
So is there anything to suggest that it's, if it wasn't from this lab, then it must have been from the wet food market?
Well, they said that, you know, they thought that it could have gone from bats to a kind of creature called a pangolin. The thing is that the market doesn't seem to have the right kind of bats, and they don't sell pangolin in that market. They do in, you know, in other parts of China as an exotic food. So, you know, it's just not adding up, frankly. And the fact that they're...
So you don't, you're thinking, Charles, that it may not have come from the wet food market, that it may in fact have come from that lab.
Yeah, I think it's most likely that the bats, they were doing research with the bats. Some sort of error was made. It infected people in the laboratory who then naturally, like everybody in the neighborhood, went to that market to get their food and spread it from there, because we know that human-to-human transmission, of course, happens in this once you've got infected with this particular pathogen. But, you know, I'm not an epidemiologist or a specialist in this form of medicine. I just, as a as a citizen who follows it, there just doesn't seem to be much explanation as to why they're ruling out the lab, nor is there any logical explanation as to how it could have arisen any other way. So, you know, that's more or less where we're left. And I don't think that, you know, the Chinese are clearly not going to allow any further investigation of the lab. It's been a year since it started. And I really wonder if we'll ever get the facts about this thing in any credible way that would resonate with the science community the way that the origins of SARS did, which, you know, is very much accepted as to how that arose through the civet cats.
So did the World Health Organization even have access to this lab or any of its records or anything to do a proper investigation and then arrived at the conclusion there was nothing to see here, or was that decision made for them?
Well, they say that they were given unexpectedly open access and that they were able to investigate the lab and meet with people and talk with them. So, you know, certainly they're claiming that the investigation of the lab was thorough. But we're not getting much details on it.
You're listening to the Scott Thompson Show podcast on 900 CHML.
What does this do for the credibility of the World Health Organization?
Well, it's already pretty low. As you know, we know that they had information about the human-to-human spread. China didn't want them to report that, and they complied with China's wishes. So, you know, the WHO is culpable for this awful pandemic that, you know, is leading to premature death of people all around the world, as is the Chinese government. And, you know, that there's not much dispute about that the WHO was ruled largely by political factors, and the Chinese authorities seem to have considerable hold over some of the leaders of the WHO in ways which have not been fully explained yet.
So in the end, Charles, do you think that this will, and obviously I'm just asking you to, in a hypothetical situation, to guess here, but in the end of all of this, do you think there will be no concrete conclusion of how this started, just conspiracy theories, and that's enough to take the attention away from China?
I think that's more or less where it stands at present. You know, it seems that the Americans may have intelligence information that they are not openly sharing because it would, you know, provide insight into their sources. You always have this problem with intelligence agencies that know stuff and don't want to tell it because, you know, then we'll find out how they got it. But, you know, certainly the way the Chinese are talking, you know, nothing to see here in the lab. Time to move on to foreign countries and see if it came in on the packaging of seafood that was sold in that lab from, you know, imported from.
It seems bizarre that they're trying to point this to other countries, yet if you go back to the origin of this outbreak, it was in Wuhan, China. It didn't all of a sudden start breaking out in other parts of the world and not, like, I mean, if it had originated in another part of the world, would they not have had a massive outbreak at the very beginning of all of this?
You would have thought, you know, like the place where the seafood came from.
You know, like, look over there. That's where the fire is. The fire's not here. You know,
exactly.
You send the fire department to where the fire is.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think you've seen a logical flaw that us non-medical specialists are able to figure out, but which seem to so far not have penetrated through to the Chinese propagandists who are telling us nothing to see here. Move along, move along.
So how will the world view this World Health Organization investigation, and how will they view China out the other end of this, even if it is inconclusive?
Well, I think in general, you know, it appears that the government of China largely attempts to subvert the purposes of the United Nations, including the WHO, by putting key people into key positions and using their influence through developmental aid with other, you know, with smaller countries to try and prevent the UN from engaging in the kinds of purposes that the UN should be engaging in. You know, so why isn't the UN in there investing the serious allegations of genocide in Xinjiang? If there's nothing to see there, then why doesn't the Chinese welcome a UN delegation to go in and enter those re-education centers and do all the investigation necessary to clear them? Or in terms of, you know, the security council, which China has a veto on, they're often vetoing actions against their allies who, you know, should be subject to the UN's mandate to ensure peace and justice. So China's been quite disruptive in all UN agencies, including Interpol and you know, any number of other ones, up to and including blocking Taiwan from participating in matters which go across borders, such as health or air lanes. You know, I think that we really have to be reevaluating the role of China in the world and trying to come up with mechanisms that allow the, you know, fair, just, reciprocal, mutually beneficial institutions to function the way that they're supposed to. And the WHO should be neutral. It shouldn't be subject to manipulation by a major power.
So who is winning right now on this date, February 9th, 2021? Who is winning this propaganda war around the world? Is it China or is it the rest of the free world? Is China still the golden goose or is it the coyote in the chicken coop?
I think people don't fully appreciate the malignant influence of China, you know, throughout the world, including inside Canada. And I think that they're inclined to, you know, be of goodwill and believe when the Chinese claim that they are standing up for the rules-based international order, that that must be the case. But then when you look at their actual actions, you know, Xinjiang, Hong Kong, hostage diplomacy of Carl Rickon's favor, arbitrary imposition of economic coercion over countries like Canada and Australia to further Chinese political purposes, you know, the facts on the ground suggest something very different from the way that China is able to be perceived by a lot of people. And maybe people think that it doesn't matter that much, but as the Chinese regime gains more and more sway over the world, the worse it is for those of us who believe in democracy, freedom, and human rights.
Charles Burton has been with us, Senior Fellow, Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad, McDonald Laurier Institute. Charles, as always, a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for the time. Be well.
Take care.
The Scott Thompson Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.